Jesus told his disciples, the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed on the third day, be raised. This must have been very difficult for the disciples of Jesus. They had lived with him for 3 years. He'd become an intimate friend, closer even than their own families, their own kin. They loved him. And they knew that he loved them. They'd left everything to follow him. And now he was talking to them about his suffering and the end of his life that was coming very soon. How it must have impacted them. Why did he have to die? Perhaps every Christian at some point asks himself that question. Why did Jesus have to suffer and die? The most important reason involves his love for us, that he would lay down his life for his friends. It helps to understand this matter, to see the bigger picture. Everyone in the world, prior to Jesus' life on earth and crucifixion and resurrection, everybody, up to that point, lived their entire lives in fear of death, fear of disease, because there was no hope for escape. That was the only thing people understood. You live, you die, you get sick, it's over. And his disciples often saw him cure the sick and bring the dead back to life. By his death on the cross, Jesus, the Christ of God, defeated death on that cross once and for all. Death could no longer have any power over him. He died once. He came back. He lives forever. And he wants to give us that same gift, that power over death. That's why he had to suffer and die on the cross, to defeat death for us. His resurrection is our hope for overcoming death as well. His cross is our hope. That cross is his gift to us. In order to receive his gift of eternal life, we need to believe what he says. As we heard from the gospel, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. How do we take up our cross? How do you do that? Now, the church has always taught that the most important lesson is that we must learn to deny ourselves. We must learn to take ourselves, to make ourselves less important, and grow in maturity to put others first. And we can see this growth happening all around us. It's not a surprise to us. We see growth and maturity all the time in different degrees. Just look at teenagers. Teenagers are just learning how to become adults. They're so self-absorbed. They're big physically, but inside they're still children. Just look at young adults who, when they start forming couples and they begin to marry, the couples are attracted to each other, they're oriented to each other, and there is this struggle in the beginning of the relationship between selfishness and self-giving love for the other. We see it, we lived it, we experience it. And they're going to spend their entire lives in this marriage struggling with these tensions between self-love and love of the other. That's the growth of maturity in marriage. Just look at first-time parents. This is actually fun for a grandparent. The first-time parents become totally absorbed in this new toy, this new miracle, this child. They love their new babies, but pretty soon they begin to struggle with the fact that these, their own children, are so self-absorbed that they now demand constant attention. And they have endless needs. And that helps the parent grow in self-giving. And so we learn to cross that bridge as well. We learn to grow between self-absorption and the cross. And the cross is the ultimate spiritual maturity. We learn that there's no greater love than to give ourselves completely for those we love. As Jesus says, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. We're celebrating Father's Day today. You know, we hear things in our secular culture. Sometimes I can't believe some of the stuff we're hearing, but it's not uncommon to hear, are fathers really necessary? And well, the answer really depends. If the father is absent, self-absorbed, selfish, and refuses to become the teacher, the partner, the model of character and virtue, then the child will have much more difficulty learning to love himself and learning to leave his childish ways behind. However, if the father is growing in love, if the father is growing in self-denial and growing in commitment to their children and to their spouses, the children are going to learn a lot more rapidly the truth that self-denial is a gift to them also. It's a gift for life. And from their fathers, they will learn to be more giving, and they'll become more healthy adults. Fathers are essential to the formation of our families and children. I thank God for the fathers in my life. I know you do too. I thank God for the fathers who regularly deny themselves for the good of their families and help their children to learn the gifts of faith. The fathers are the very first teachers of faith. And when faith is not important to the father, the children learn from this also, and they learn it quickly. Those fathers who teach and practice their faith in Jesus and in their devotion to the church and the holy sacraments automatically teach this faith to their children. The children can't help but learn it. And when they love their spouses, when they love their children, always try to live their most important values. Fathers are the best of teachers. Happy Father's Day.